the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Hurricane Debby is just about to make landfall along Florida's Big Bend as a Category 1 storm, bringing heavy rain, wind, and surf to the Gulf Coast. Specialist Richard Pasch at the National Hurricane Center.
It's between Tampa and Tallahassee, a relatively thinly populated area, but nonetheless bringing some life-threatening storm surge, and very heavy rains are expected.
That goes for Georgia and South Carolina as well. Savannah Mayor Van Johnson.
This could be severe. This could be catastrophic, and I don't want to even play with any words or mince any words here about how significant this is.
CBS's Christian Benavides.
People here in Savannah are used to hurricanes and tropical storms, but for something to linger for as long as it is expected to do in such a low-lying area, it could potentially be, if the forecast holds, an unprecedented event.
Israelis are bracing for a strike from Iran that could come any time in retaliation for the death of Hamas top political leader. Aaron David Miller, senior fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace.
Given the fact that the U.S. will have two carrier strike groups in the Eastern Med, the U.S. could easily get involved. So we could be on the cusp. I'm not predicting it. I think nobody wants it.
Vice President Kamala Harris could announce her choice for a running mate today, and a new CBS poll gives her a slight edge over Donald Trump nationwide. They're virtually tied in battleground states. Director of Elections and Surveys Anthony Salvanto on Face the Nation.
This is a shift because Joe Biden, when he was the nominee, was down 5 points nationally to Donald Trump. So what's behind this is really interesting, because you see more Democrats now say not only are they excited about Harris as the nominee, but that they're going to vote, and that'll make your poll numbers go up.
A 10-year mystery solved in New York City. Robert Kennedy Jr. reveals he's the one who dumped a dead bear cub in Central Park. The Indy candidate for president says he was driving in the suburbs when a car in front of him hit the animal.
I pulled over and I picked up the bear and put him in the back of my van because I was going to skin the bear, and it was very good condition, and I was going to put the meat in my refrigerator.
In a video, he says he realized it was best to dump the cub, so
I said, let's go put the bear in Central Park and we'll make it look like he got hit by a bike.
Make it look like it got hit by a bike, he says. A global sell-off is intensifying after last Friday's U.S. jobs report. Dow futures down 786, NAS futures off 872. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Racine County is in. For now, Kenosha County is out. The National Weather Service has issued a flood watch for a portion of southeastern Wisconsin from late tonight through tomorrow morning. The watch comes as forecasters are predicting several hours of moderate to heavy rain that could lead to flash flooding. We'll have the latest coming up in the forecast. The longtime Racine County clerk wants the executive role. Wendy Christensen has been in the clerk's role since 2008 and has officially registered as a candidate for Racine County executive. The special election set for December will fill the position left vacant by Jonathan Delagrave, who passed away unexpectedly this summer. A downtown Kenosha diner will be closed for a while. Owners of the Coffee Pot are cleaning up after a couple of flare-ups over the weekend. There was extensive damage there from two fires on Saturday. Firefighters initially thought they had contained the blaze to a wall, but were called back hours later when it rekindled in a void. Firefighters had to break through walls and the roof to put out the flames. A top White House official is in Racine today in an official capacity, not a campaign visit. Tom Perez will be in Racine to promote federal initiatives aimed at removing lead water pipes. Perez, who serves as the White House Director of the Office of Intergovernmental Affairs, will be accompanied by Racine Mayor Corey Mason, State Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer, and Forward Together Wisconsin President Mandela Barnes. Following the Racine engagement, Perez will head to Milwaukee for another event. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
All systems go in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers put on a show over the weekend on family night. Jordan Love signing autographs for fans and doing interviews.
Training camp's been good so far. Great practice going against a great defense every day. A lot of great competition, but that receiver room, tight end room, all those playmakers, man, they're looking great. I'm very excited about what we got building, and just a lot of those guys, you know, taking that next step and building on what we did last year, so I'm very excited.
The biggest question is still at kicker. Anders Carlson went 8-for-9 after going 3-for-6 earlier in the week. Greg Joseph, 7-for-9 family night. The Packers have signed another kicker, Jonathan Garibay, who's kicked for the Dallas Cowboys and in the UFL. Baseball, the Brewers lose to the Nationals 4-3. Milwaukee has now lost 3 straight series. Today, they travel to Atlanta, where they'll play the Braves tomorrow night.
I love this team, guys, and I'm not going to start criticizing them for making youthful mistakes or for hitting balls hard and not having to be timely hitting.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
WRJN Sports with Mike Clemens is sponsored hourly by Pottawatomie Hotel Casino. Learn more online at paysbig.com.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible today. 77 are high this afternoon. Tonight, showers, thunderstorms with locally heavy rain. 64 tomorrow. A few lingering storms in the morning, clearing in the afternoon with a high near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Gable. Outside now, it's 75.
Yeah, your 40s are weird. A lot of people are like, dude, you're 40? How do you deal with that? And I'm like, here's what you do. You hang out with the elderly. My entourage? My grandma and her friends? Yeah, they're in their 90s, dude. You don't feel old around them. Like, when I turned 40, I had a panic attack. I was like, oh my God, can't believe it, I'm 40. Around them, they're like, what? You're just a child. And I'm like, yeah, I'm still a child. But I feel bad for them because they don't have that in their life. Like, when they turn 90, they don't have anybody making them feel better. They don't have a 150-year-old friend like...
If you know me, I love talking movies, and I got the Movie Mom, Nell Minow from MovieMom.com here. Nell, thank you for joining me this morning. I do appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
Now, your website is mainly a parent's guide to movies, right?
Yeah, that's right. But it's really, you know, I sort of joke that it's parents and grandparents, because a lot of people say to me, I just can't find a movie that I can take my parents to. You know, they're baby boomers or they're Gen Xers, and they're just so offended by everything in theaters. So it's a guide really for anybody. And then I write sort of non-parental regular reviews for RogerEbert.com as well.
You know, just a couple of years ago, I took my mom. They reran The Sound of Music at a theater near us, but the full roadshow version. And I took her into theater. She had never seen The Sound of Music. She was 92 years old.
Goodness.
She had never seen it. Because we weren't that, we didn't watch Disney. Our family wasn't Disney family-friendly film. We just weren't like that. And so she saw The Sound of Music, loved it so much. I got her a DVD of it, and she just watched it over and over and over. She had never seen it before.
Wow. It is a great movie.
Then I took her to see Gravity. Remember that 3D movie?
Yeah, of course.
And she had never seen a 3D movie before. And she's wearing the glasses, and she's in the air trying to grab stuff with her hand.
Yeah, wow.
She said it looks so real. The movies can be great.
It did look real.
Yeah, movies can be great. Let's get to some of my stuff first, then we'll get to your stuff. Because okay. I have a short memory. All right. Horizon. Now, here's a movie we've talked about on Friday mornings. It's the Kevin Costner epic. He wanted to make it in two parts, part one and two. And you had to see the first part in August, mid-August. You were going to see part two.
Five parts.
Oh, it was going to be five parts.
He was planning five parts. And the first part was 3 hours long. So, you know, yeah.
So anyway, they showed at the end of part one, chapter one, they call it, you can see what was coming up in the next chapter. And the movie flopped at the box office really bad. First of all, it was a Western. It was 3 hours long, and it didn't have an ending. I mean, there's three things going against it. So you just told me now part two, chapter two, is not coming to theaters.
No, the first one flopped so hard and cost so much that they have halted production on the next three chapters. And part two is going to go straight to streaming.
Do you know where on streaming?
You know, I think it's Amazon, but I'm not sure. But yeah, this is one that, listen, this hurt him because he financed this with his own money. He walked away from one of the biggest successes he would ever have with Yellowstone, and he decided he wanted to do it his way, and nobody wanted to see it, and it just died at the box office.
Now, didn't the movie executives, when they saw this movie, know it was going to flop? That, you know, you're watching the same movie that I was watching. Didn't you see?
You know, I'm going to quote William Goldman, the Oscar-winning screenwriter of All the President's Men and Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, Princess Bride. His famous statement about Hollywood is, "No one knows anything." They live in a very rarefied world. People like things that they don't think they're going to like. I mean, nobody can figure out why The Fall Guy didn't do better. That was a fantastic movie. It was so much fun. Argyle was a massive flop, a hugely expensive film, massive flop in theaters, and then became a huge hit on streaming. So believe me, Hollywood, if they did have a crystal ball, they could probably do better with it than the executive sitting around in a screening room.
I mean, I could have told him it wasn't going to be it. First of all, Westerns generally don't do well. Sometimes they do. It's rare. But Western...
Well, I think he felt with Yellowstone, which, of course, yeah, is a modern Western, being such a hit, that he, and of course he did Dances with Wolves, which got all the Oscars, and so I think he thought he knew what he was doing.
It's a different story, I think, on streaming, because when you go to the movies, you're paying $10 a piece. That's minimum, $10 a piece to get in. So that's $20 to get in, not to mention if there's food or anything, it could be $30-$40 to see a movie. On streaming, it's part of the package. You just turn it on. I love Westerns. But, you know, I don't think they're going to make him anymore after this flop. I don't think we're going to see him. Do you know any coming down the pike?
I do not. And the problem is that the traditional Westerns just don't work anymore because we're a lot more sensitive about things like cowboys and Indians and ranchers and farmers and water rights and all of that. I think you can do it. And it is such an enduring part of the American story that people will continue to reinvent the idea of the Western, but the old kind, I don't think we will see again.
I think Costner did a great job in Open Range with Robert Duvall.
Yeah.
That was a great movie.
Yeah, and don't forget Unforgiven, another Oscar winner.
Unforgiven, yeah, another good movie. Great storytelling. Okay, Twisters, which is... not the sequel, but it's almost like a remake of Twister.
Well, you know, it begins with a real nod to the end of Twister. If you remember, I don't think it's a spoiler at this point to say that in Twister, the big triumph at the end was they were able to put that diagnostic device up inside the tornado called Dorothy, and they start with that. So there are a lot of nods to it. It's kind of a spiritual successor. But, yeah, I know you didn't like it, but I did.
You know what? I'm going to quote Humphrey Bogart.
Okay.
They asked him about the Caine Mutiny after he made that in 1954. Now, the Caine Mutiny on Broadway was just the trial. That's all it was.
Right.
It was the trial.
It was called the Caine Mutiny Court Martial.
Right.
Broadway.
That's what it was. And then when they made it in the film, they put a love story in there. And I'm going to clean it up because this is what he said. They said, "What do you think of the Caine Mutiny?" He said, "They messed it up with a love story." But he didn't say messed. They messed it up with a love story. He said crapped. He said they crapped it up with a love story is what he said.
Uh-huh.
And that's what they did with Twisters. They messed it up with a love
story. The original had a big love story.
I know, but it was...
a classic love story. You know, there's a whole book about what they call the comedies of remarriage because there are so many movies about exes getting back together. And the reason for that is anybody can fall in love with somebody you don't know very well. But if you've lived with them, if you've seen them at their worst, if you fought with them, and then you get back together with them, that's a love story.
There was just too much of it in this film. They had two guys after the same woman.
There wasn't even a sick. It was not even a kiss.
You know what? It was everything but a kiss. I'm not going to ruin the picture for her, but at the end, there's a running through the airport. I'm going to get her. I'm going to leave my truck here that cost me $90,000 and just run after her. Yeah, right. I've been at the airports before. That thing would have been towed away in 5 seconds.
That is definitely true. And you're talking about this year's hottest actor in all senses of the word, Glenn Powell, who has just had hit after hit. He had that very surprising hit at the beginning of the year, Anybody But You. He produced the excellent, excellent documentary Blue Angels, and he was in the quirky comedy that's also a big hit, Hitman, and now he's in this one. He is just owning 2024.
I never heard of him before, and I go to the movies all the time.
Well, one of my very favorite movies was one of his first movies, also made with the same director that he worked with on Hitman, Richard Linklater, who I love.
Yeah,
they're both
I know.
From Texas. And it's called Everybody Wants Some, which is kind of like a spiritual sequel to Dazed and Confused. And he just is fantastic in that movie. I'm a huge fan of his. So I've been watching him for a while. And, of course, he was in Top Gun Maverick last year, too.
I'll give you this much. He's a good-looking guy. And he can act.
He's a good-looking guy with a ton of charm. Yeah, he's got great charisma. And I've interviewed him twice. He's a lovely person.
The acting was good, but also in Twisters, in his entourage, it was the same group of characters that were in the first Twister. The same quirky people, the same nerds. It was like they just gave them different actors in the same roles from the first movie.
Yeah, but you had to contrast with kind of the guys in suits and with PhDs that were on the other team.
Yeah.
And so, and the wonderful Sasha Lane was in there sort of playing the same kind of part that Philip Seymour Hoffman played in the first one.
And I will give you, the special effects were terrifying in this film. When people get sucked into the Twister, it is terrifying to watch.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the first one had the flying cows. This one had flying people and flying roofs. The roofs were just getting ripped off of the buildings.
And I was never in a tornado. I don't know what it's like. But if it's like that, I never want to be close by one because I
was in one just once, and it was in Wisconsin.
Oh, great.
I was in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, and it was just like in the movie. We could see it coming, and we could see the Twister coming, and we felt the eye where everything just got very quiet for a few minutes. And, yeah, it was just a very, very intense storm. The buildings weren't damaged, and nobody got sucked up into the air.
Yikes. Hold on a second here. We're talking to Nell Minow, the movie mom at moviemom.com. We're going to talk about some of her new movies she's seen at some of the festivals. That's coming up. Plus one that I really, it's going to be hard to see. You remember the Angel Pictures, Angel Studios, puts out a lot of good movies. And I just saw one recently about child adoption. I'm trying to remember what the name of that was.
Oh, Possum Trot.
Possum Trot. I love that movie.
It's such a sweet story, and of course,
it's true.
I love it when they show the real people at the end. That's a lovely, lovely story.
I love that Possum Trot, and there was another picture we saw that same week. I can't remember. Boy, the older I get, the less I remember. I'll try to think of it in a second here. Nell Minow, the movie mom. We're more with Nell coming up in just a moment here at WRJN. Local news and timeless hits.
Baseballs flying out of AmFam Field? That's what we love to see. But what about pests sneaking into your home? Not so much of a grand slam. For 65 years, family-owned Safeway Pest Management has been keeping southeastern Wisconsin pest-free by eliminating unwanted critters with safe, effective solutions. Don't strike out against pests. Go for the home run and call Safeway Pest Management at 262-679-4422. Mention the Brewers and get 10% off your first service. It's a win-win for your peace of mind and your Brewers pride.
It's time for the grooviest event of the summer at the Wisconsin State Fair. Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular, August 1st through the 11th.
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Do you know or work with kids who have special healthcare needs? Help them live their best lives.
Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Well, you can't say we didn't listen to you. You may have noticed WRJN is playing the timeless hits you told us you missed. We'll still bring you Racine's local news, weather, and sports every day, now enhanced with timeless hits. Don Rosen expands his morning show to 9 a.m., followed by Cindy Huber, 9 till 2, and Kurt Bowman, afternoons 2 until 6. Hometown Radio Refreshed with local news and timeless hits on WRJN.
Local news and timeless hits, WRJN.
The Movie Mom, Nell Meno, is here from MovieMom.com, and your website is mainly a guide to family films that people can take their grandma to or their children to.
It's a full-on review, yeah. Plus a guide for parents.
Yeah.
So it's a regular review. So if you can go to my website and find out should I see the movie or not, and then if you have kids, then you can look at that part too.
I always look in movie reviews. When Roger Ebert was alive, I always checked him and Gene Siskel. Because we thought alike. On most movies, we thought alike. But I thought Babe, Pig in the City was a good movie. I didn't think it was Gene Siskel. It was his pick for Best Picture of the Year. I didn't think it was that good. But, I mean, it was good, but it's not Best of the Year. Okay, so you saw some films recently. Some picks to click, as we say in radio. What did you see recently? I saw on your website.
Well, of course, like everybody else apparently on the planet, I saw Deadpool and Wolverine. And I thought it was great. I'm a Comic-Con attending fangirl. We'll talk about Comic-Con a little bit later. And so I'm very deeply enmeshed in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I like the character of Deadpool, and I thought it was very funny. But, of course, it is very, 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 very R-rated. And a lot of winking at the audience, a lot of references to Marvel Comics and to Disney and to 20th Century Fox, which used to have the rights to Deadpool, that, you know, you have to be kind of an insider to understand. But I thought it was just great. And we talked about Twisters. The Despicable Me 4 was a lot of fun. Inside Out 2, one of the best movies of the year. And another one of the best movies of the year just came out. Everybody should see this. It's called Sing Sing. And it's based on the true story of a program called Rehabilitation Through the Arts at one of the most brutal maximum security prisons in the United States, of course, the famous Sing Sing in upstate New York. And Colman Domingo, I'm telling you right now, he'll be nominated for an Oscar again for this incredible performance. But almost everybody else in the movie is a graduate of that program. These are all formerly incarcerated men who were in the program and play essentially themselves in the film. And it is extraordinary, and the ending has such an emotional punch. So I really like Sing Sing.
Yeah, it's right north of Manhattan, Ossining, New York. They have Sing Sing Prison up there. And you're right, it's one of the most notorious prisons.
Yeah.
You know, next to Rikers Island. I don't know which is worse.
Or Alcatraz, which isn't an operation anymore. I got to interview. I'll just tell you one thing about my interview with the people who made the movie. I said, did I hear correctly that all the participants in the program call each other beloved? Like, you know, good morning, beloved, or, you know, learn your lines, beloved. And they said, yes. They said it's sort of routine in the prison community to call each other by the N-word, even when you're being friendly. And we just had to talk about how toxic that was and pick another word. So we all call each other beloved.
Hmm. Maybe they learned something in prison after all.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't
know. All right, I want to tell you about a movie I saw that I absolutely hated because I have to rant about it a little
Twisters?
Bit.
Twisters?
It's called The Fabulous Four. It is a not fabulous movie, and I just want them to stop taking these incredible award-winning actresses, these EGOT full of actresses, and put them in these dumb movies like Book Club and 80 for Brady, and now this one. It's got Bette Midler and Susan Sarandon and Megan Mullally from Will and Grace and Shirley Ralph, and it's just excruciatingly bad.
80 for Brady was no good? I didn't see it.
It was the least bad of these movies, but it was terrible. Now, another movie that I liked a lot that is not getting as much attention as it deserves is Fly Me to the Moon. I thought it was brilliant. But I'll tell you something that made me feel old. The person who wrote this movie, Fly Me to the Moon, with Scarlett Johansson and Channing Tatum, based in part on something real that happened with the first landing on the moon, but, of course, very fictionalized, especially with the romance. The person who wrote that movie is the grandchild of the person who wrote the first movie I ever reviewed for my high school paper, so that made me feel old.
What was the movie?
It was The Subject Was Roses, which was Martin Sheen's
first movie. I love that movie. Yeah,
that's a great movie. Patricia Neal, Jack Albertson.
It was more like it's more like a play you were watching on the screen.
It was a play, right, and they made it into a movie. And the guy who wrote it, his sons are both screenwriters, and now his granddaughter is a screenwriter.
Could you hold on through the break?
Sure.
Okay. Nell Minow, the Movie Mom, is with us at MovieMom.com. Guess who's coming up right now, making his debut after X number of years? Paul Harvey was on this station for 50-some-odd years. I mean, since he started, because we were one of the first radio stations to sign. We were the first 10 to sign with the ABC Radio Network when it first started. And Paul Harvey was in that ABC Radio group. And he was on this station for years and years and years. He even, if you heard in the promo, even did a salute to WRJN at one time. So we are more than happy to debut, coming back again for the first time, the rest of the story.
Now, the rest of the story. Have you heard the one about the traveling salesman? There's a traveling salesman from Cleveland who wagered over his head in a game of golf. Well, let me tell you the story. If this salesman lost this game, he was going to lose a lot more than a game. So the game he had to win is the rest of the story. He was, as I say, a salesman in Cleveland. He was 25. His income just about equaled his expenses. So though he was a good amateur golfer, he dared not wager for high stakes until one day. Friends had invited him to the Pine Valley course in New Jersey. He'd never played that course before, and Pine Valley's a man-eater. More sand and scrub than short grass. You ask anybody who's played it, Pine Valley is one tough golf course. Now, the young salesman is no hustler, but this day he has to hustle because he needs money, he needs cash, he needs hundreds of dollars. So the negotiating begins. Pine Valley can't be such a hard course, says the visitor, though he has heard otherwise. His golfing companions laugh. Would he care to put up a little money behind that boast? All right, says he. So confident is he that for every stroke over 80 on his scorecard, he'll pay his companions $100. Well, his companions are delighted. Who does this kid think he is that he can shoot 80 or lower on his first time around Pine Valley? But wait a minute, says the guest. You pay me $100 for every stroke I make under par. Par was 72. Well, now his hosts are sure that this youngster has underestimated Pine Valley. They'd heard he was pretty good, but nobody's that good. So they agree to the wager. First hole at Pine Valley's a monster. Dogleg right, 427 yards from the tee. Woods on the left, sand and scrub on the right. The green is level with a fairway. The problem is there's a sharp 10-foot drop from the fringe on the left and the right and the back. And all of this in a par four. Well, our hero's already lying four, and he's 30 feet from the pin. But he sinks the 30-foot putt. Then before he'd even reached the second tee, he's already shooting bogey golf. $100 for every stroke over 80. There was no way for them to know that their guest was broke. There was no way that he could pay for even one of those strokes. To win, what he needs to do is to break 72. He just has to. He has to. Well, that day, after that most important game on that treacherous golf course, the brash young visitor putted out on the 18th with a round of 68, four strokes under par, and his take at the predetermined rate of $100 a stroke, $400, he'd won precisely the cash he needed, and his next stop would be the place of business of a certain mid-city merchant, and there he left the $400, the exact sum needed to pay for what he'd already bought. It's many victories later today, millions of dollars in winnings and earnings, But the incomparable career in professional golf all began with a game he had to win in 1954. For that day, he was playing for keeps. He was playing for an engagement ring that he had bought before he could pay for it. And that day, he learned how good a golfer he really could be. He learned what he could do when he had to. So that year, the Cleveland salesman made golf his profession, and he and it have rewarded each other ever since. The prize he won 34 years ago was a girl named Winifred Walzer, then and thereafter, Mrs. Arnold Palmer. And now you know the rest of the story.
Paul Harvey and the rest of the story every weekday morning, 7:25, and with Cindy Huber at 12:05 in the afternoon. And if you want to advertise and sponsor a rest of the story, you can do so. 262-634-3311. Just give us a call. You'll get information. 262-634-3311.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A nursing student at UW-Milwaukee is in stable but critical condition after a drowning incident in Kenosha County Friday. 19-year-old Jackson Henderson was swimming at Lake Andrea in Pleasant Prairie Friday. He went under while swimming and was without air for about 10 to 20 minutes. Bystanders and first responders got him out, got a pulse, and rushed him to the hospital. A GoFundMe has been set up to help Henderson. A flood watch will be running tonight for Racine County. The National Weather Service has issued the flood watch for a portion of southeastern Wisconsin from late tonight through tomorrow morning. Kenosha County isn't included at this point. The watch comes as forecasters predict several hours of moderate to heavy rain that could lead to flash flooding. We'll have the latest coming up in the forecast. Child abuse charges against James Kerner, former Racine County Emergency Services Director, and his wife Tiana have been dropped. The case, which had been transferred to Kenosha County prosecutors, took an unexpected turn when, according to the Racine Journal-Times, the accuser's brother provided conflicting testimony. Based on the prosecutor's recommendation, the judge dismissed all charges exonerating the Kerners. There's lots of spending in the first CD race. The Badger Project reports that Representative Brian Stile is entering the contest with a significant financial advantage, having raised over $4 million in the first half of this year alone. Peter Barca, who briefly held the seat in the 90s, has raised nearly $800,000 since April. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Monday. Tomorrow morning at the Wisconsin State Fair is the Century and Sesquicentennial Farm Breakfast. In just a moment, we'll talk with one of the award recipients.
You're invited to Close Farms and Country Fest in Chippewa County for this year's Farm Technology Days, growing to the tune of success. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the future of agriculture. There's also food trucks, music, and of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 13th through the 15th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
Here at the Midwest Farm Report, we're celebrating the families that have farmed the same land for more than 100 or 150 years. Matt Tukarski's family in Jefferson County is getting their centennial award from the state of Wisconsin tomorrow morning. He says they take great pride in a family heirloom that's been passed on from his grandparents.
Well, we still have the first tractor that my grandparents purchased, actually a week after they had gotten married. And that was the first tractor on the farm that took over for horses. It's an Oliver 60. And back in the day, that was a big tractor for them, you know, kind of the next step in farming back then. So we still have that. It's restored, and I try to get it out a couple times a year to get the dust off of it. But that would definitely be something we cherish every day that we have. We usually try to make it to our local fireman's picnic. We'll take it down there for the tractor show.
Matt Tukarski from Jefferson County is one of the many Centennial Award recipients that will be celebrated tomorrow morning at the Wisconsin State Fair. You can find more stories like this at MidwestFarmReport.com.
What makes Dairyland Seed silage unique? Better. Designed specifically to maximize tonnage potential in the upper Midwest, Dairyland Seed silage products contain higher starch content and the highest level of fiber digestibility for optimized milk production. And to help get even more milk in the tank, these elite genetics are supported by your dedicated local dealer and direct access to a team of leading agronomists and silage experts. Better silage, better support, better results. That's the Dairyland Seed difference. Meet our 2025 lineup at DairylandSeedSilage.com.
Mark your calendars for August 10th. Governor Tony Evers has declared it Cream Puff Day across the state to honor the 100th anniversary of the original Cream Puff. You can find these Cream Puffs this week at the Wisconsin State Fair, including limited edition anniversary flavors. In other news, the opportunity to break bread with a cabinet secretary is a rare one, but four Wisconsin soybean representatives were able to share a breakfast with U.S. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg. During the meeting, they talked about ag-related infrastructure issues, including making improvements to roads and bridges and the Mississippi River. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible today. 77 are high this afternoon. Tonight, showers, thunderstorms with locally heavy rain. 64 tomorrow. A few lingering storms in the morning, clearing in the afternoon with a high near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 75.
Nell Minow, the movie mom, is here at moviemom.com. We're talking movies this morning. Before we get any further in all our discussions here, I know you want to talk about Comic-Con. I've never been there. Now, I picture a bunch of people who never went on a date in their lives going to Comic. I could be wrong, but that's what I'm picking. Am I close?
No.
Okay, good.
As a matter of fact, there's a lot of romances starting
okay.
at Comic Con.
That's just what I picture. Guys and girls who just never went out socially before in their lives, but I could be wrong. We're going to talk about that in just a second here. I want to talk about three categories of movies. I want to get this in now because I'll forget.
Okay.
Best comedy. Now, you can give me your final two, and then give me your favorite.
Okay. I did a little bit of a spin when you asked me that. I'm going to give you my final two and my favorite, which are obvious and everybody already knows them. But for each of your categories, I'm going to give you one that nobody knows that they should look at. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So my final two are Singing in the Rain and Some Like It Hot.
Yes. Good choices. Excellent.
Thank you. Yeah, kind of obvious. But, and with Some Like It Hot being number one, that's just the best of all time.
Nobody's perfect.
Nobody's perfect.
Okay. All right.
And I'm a big Marilyn Monroe fan. I love, but Jack Lemmon steals the movie. He is so good. You know, I love that line, "Who's the lucky girl?" And he says, "Me."
But I do like the scene with Tony Curtis on the beach when he's holding up, he says,
The shell.
This is my company. He holds up the shell. And I just thought it was very good. Okay. Now, what's the one you want us to be on the lookout for?
Okay. I've got two to be on the lookout for. One is also with Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon, The Great Race.
Oh, yeah.
I love that
movie.
And also for one that no one's ever heard of, that I think is one of the funniest movies ever made, William Powell and Myrna Loy in a movie called I Love You Again. It's absolutely wonderful. They play it on Turner Classic Movies all the time. You won't have any trouble tracking it down.
Well, God bless TCM.
Yeah.
I mean, just running all those great movies that aren't available anyplace else.
Yeah.
And they run them commercial-free, unedited language. Everything goes through. They never edit anything out of them. The one you mentioned, The Great Race, good song comes from there with Tony Curtis and Natalie Wood is singing to Tony Curtis.
Yes, Henry Mancini song.
Yeah. Good movie. I like that. And Natalie Wood's very good in that film. Peter Falk is excellent in there.
He's great. And Keenan Wynt.
Yeah.
And, it's great.
Good movie. Okay.
Reggie Provin.
My comedies, my final two are Annie Hall, the Woody Allen movie, and The Burbs with Tom Hanks.
Yes.
You know, I've seen that. People say, I never heard of that movie before.
Yeah.
And my favorite one out of those two is The Burbs, because I can watch that over and over again. And Rick Dukeman, who is, I don't know if he's from Wisconsin or he's right over the border in Illinois, but he's from the area, Rick Dukeman. He is funny in that film. And Bruce Dern is a riot.
Yeah.
And that kid, Corey...
Bruce Dern is from my hometown, Glencoe, Illinois.
Oh, is he really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid, he's one of the Coreys. I can't... Corey Feldman.
Yeah.
Everybody's so good in that film. Carrie Fisher, excellent in the movie. But it probably goes on in everybody's neighborhood in America, what goes on in The Burbs. Oh, Gail Gordon, his last movie.
Oh, my gosh, is that right?
Yeah, that was his last film, Gail Gordon, from all the Lucy shows and everything.
Yeah.
Excellent movie. Go watch it, The Burbs, funny film. Now, again, it goes on in everybody's neighborhood, but not to the extent.
I hope not.
Then it went on in that movie. Okay, best drama.
Okay, again, two obvious choices for me. Citizen Kane and The Godfather.
Oh, the two best movies of all time.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you about that.
I always quote The Godfather, including my...
Everybody, every man I've ever met quotes The Godfather.
I don't quote the usual ones. I quote the one where Sonny opened his mouth in front of Sollozzo and started talking. Hey, Pop, why don't we do the drug? And he said, hey, what's the matter? Your brain goes soft. Never discuss... What do you say? Never, never tell anyone outside the family what you're thinking. Yeah. What a great thing to remember in life. Never tell anybody outside the family what you're thinking. Like, hey, your brain goes soft. And, of course, that scene sets the whole rest of the movie in motion. Because now Sollozzo knows he can get.
He can get him, yeah.
If he gets the guy, Sonny is going to.
And that means that Michael goes back into the business.
And we just talked, about, my wife and I, about Al Pacino's role. He starts off as a kid coming out of the Army. And you could see him grow throughout the entire 3 hours until he becomes the Godfather.
Well, I don't know if I would say grow, but you certainly see him change. Because at the beginning, remember, he says, that's my family, Kay, not me. You know, he's determined to have a different life. But when his father is hit, he's back into it. And then comes the line that I quote the most often, which is James Caan saying, you're taking it very personal. This is business, and you're taking it very personal.
I love the line when the baker is coming to bring flowers to the Godfather. And he goes, I'm Enzo. Enzo, the baker. I'm here to see your father. Your father. I just love the way he repeats himself. Okay, The Godfather, Citizen Kane. You know, I listened to the Roger Ebert commentary on my DVD of Citizen Kane.
Oh, that's what I recommend to everybody. It is shot by shot. You know, this is where they dug a hole to put the camera down into the ground. This is, you know, I talked to Joseph Cotton about this scene. That is one of the most thrilling experiences I've ever had, because I knew that movie very well. And to hear Roger talk about it all the way through, that was just fantastic.
And when he does it, he says, even in the opening scene when they're bringing the camera up to the gate, where you see the big K on the gate, he said, watch the light in the house. You can always put your finger on it, and no matter where the camera goes, that light will never move from that position on the screen. And he's right, because I've done it. And I think that, and also he talks about the fireplace in the room when
a gigantic fireplace,
but when Kane is talking about his life going down, he gets smaller and the fireplace gets, same thing with the window. When he's talking to people in the window, he's getting smaller. But when he starts talking about his wealth again, he gets bigger as he comes toward the camera. It was great photography. Now, those of you two, which is your favorite out of those two?
Citizen Kane.
Yeah. I can watch that again and again and again.
All right. Now, the one that no one's ever heard of that I want to recommend every so often, and The Godfather is a good example, there's a movie of a lot of not very well-known actors, and they all go on to become big stars. American Graffiti is another one. But the one I want to recommend is called Short Term 12. It's a tiny little independent film. Everybody, including the guy who wrote and directed it, have gone on to much bigger things. And it's just a lovely, lovely film about a facility for troubled teenagers. And just a wonderful, wonderful movie with a bunch of future stars.
You know, I watch a lot of extras on The Godfather movie. They were actually thinking of putting Robert Redford as Michael Corleone.
Yeah.
I mean, and then Francis Ford Coppola said, no, I want an Italian person in that role, because they have to look Italian.
Well, you know,
Italian.
They wanted to cast Ronald Reagan as the Humphrey Bogart character in Casablanca.
I know. I remember that. Danny Thomas said he tried out for The Godfather. Could you imagine Danny Thomas as The Godfather? See, we're so used to the characters and the actors that are in that movie.
Yeah.
We can't.
Impossible.
We can't picture anybody else doing those roles. Did you see the remake of Godfather 3 called, what'd they call that? It was called The Godfather, such with a C, I can't think of the name of it. And it was called The Death of Michael Corleone.
Oh, that was not a remake. That was a sequel. I did see it.
No, it was Godfather 3, but they changed scenes around in it. I can't think of the name.
Yeah.
I can't think of it. It was Godfather Corey. It was something. Oh, I can't say when I can't remember. I saw it. It was okay. It was a different ending.
It was okay.
I'm not going to tell people what the different ending was, but you know,
it was okay.
Making Andy Garcia the Godfather, that was out of left field. I just didn't see that happening. And
he was so good in Godfather 3. He's the reason to see Godfather 3.
I know, but then they got Sofia Coppola, who's a great director but can't act. And it was
Winona Ryder couldn't do it at the last minute, so they threw her in there, the poor girl.
And I think if you take Godfather 1 and 2, they are the two best movie and sequel ever made. Now, Superman 1 and 2 come close. But
I think Godfather 1 and 2, you're absolutely right. And they're the only movie and sequel to both get the Oscar.
So we went to the movies about 2 months ago to see The Godfather on the big screen. Our local movie theater shows them. And theater was packed. It was just people, they knew all the lines, but they want to see it on the big screen. And across the hall was Gone with the Wind. It was also packed. I mean, bringing back some of these old movies to the big screen again are fun. Okay, Westerns, my genre. Now, I love Italian Westerns, but I'm not going to include them in here because I'm talking about real classic Westerns. So give me your favorite two, then your favorite one.
Okay, my favorite two are The Magnificent Seven. Original version, not The Seven Samurai, but the original version of Steve McQueen, and Yul Brynner, and Silverado. I you talk about sort of a more modern Western. I think that one really, with Kevin Klein, is just a terrific movie.
You know, the story is about Silverado that I get Lawrence Kasdan was so upset that Kevin Costner's role in what's that reunion movie they made? The Big Chill.
Big Chill.
That he wasn't even on screen, just his arm was on screen, that he put him in Silverado.
No, that was Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner. As in, I'm sorry and I'll make it up to you, put him in Silverado.
And he's so good in that movie. That's still my favorite of his performances. He's so good.
Now
I kissed a girl. I just kissed a girl. Yeah, he's great.
With The Magnificent Seven, I thought the movie was made by Eli Wallach. As the bad guy. I mean, he was such a great bad guy in that film. And the role that he played in The Magnificent Seven, it was basically the same exact character in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. There was no difference between those two characters. But he was so good in that movie. They were all good. And, of course, there were so many soon-to-be big hit stars coming out, like James Coburn, Robert Vaughn. Yul Brynner, Steve McQueen, all these big actors came out of that movie, and of course, a couple of sequels as well. So, out of those two, which is your favorite?
The Magnificent Seven. I really love that movie.
Great
and
music,
and then
the
one that no one's heard of that I want to recommend with Henry Fonda is My Darling Clementine.
Ah, the story of Wyatt Earp and the gunfight at the
Wyatt
OK Corral.
Earp,
yeah, good movie. I have that on DVD too. Very good movie. Should I take the break first? No, I'm going to do it before the break. My favorite two Westerns are Red River and The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
Oh, that's my husband's favorite, too.
See?
He tried to get me to say that one today when I told him what I was going to talk to you about. But that's his favorite.
Great minds think alike. What can I tell you?
Yeah.
Okay. The Man Who Red River is a remake of Mutiny on the Bounty, is basically it. It's Mutiny on the Bounty on the trail. With Montgomery Clift and John Wayne. John Wayne playing a really bad character in this film.
Yeah, and Montgomery Clift is, you know, comes up to John Wayne's shoulder and yet matches him beat for beat, looks him in the eye. It's a very, very powerful performance.
John Wayne is Captain Bligh, and Montgomery Clift is Fletcher Christian. I mean,
that's right.
That it was Mutiny on the Bounty. Great character actors in there. Harry Carey Jr., Walter Brennan. I mean, you get the usual cast of characters.
I think you have to have them in every Western.
Okay, my favorite one out of those two, The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
Yeah, you and my husband are aligned on that one.
John Wayne, James Stewart, and one of my favorite lines ever in a movie comes out from a newspaper reporter, a newspaper publisher in the film. And after the whole movie is over, James Stewart tells him the truth about the man who shot Liberty Valance, and he says, "Now you're going to print it." He goes, "When the legend becomes fact, print the legend."
Yeah,
And he never prints the real person who shot Liberty Valance. Lee Van Cleef in that film, Strother Martin in that film, and of course, Lee Marvin playing the most psychopathic lunatic.
I was going to say, you can't leave him out. Isn't Woody Strode?
Yeah, Pompey.
Yeah.
Lee Marvin is like a psychopath lunatic.
He is.
Movie, beating everybody with his
Strother Martin, I get a Liberty.
Yeah, Liberty. All right. That could be one of my favorite films of all time. Great John Ford Western, and they don't get any better than that. All right, hold on. We're talking to the Movie Mom, moviemom.com. Neil Minow. More coming up in just a moment here at WRJN. Local news, timeless hits, and movies.
When it comes to Wisconsin sports, WRJN has you covered. All this season, WRJN is pleased to be your new home for the Milwaukee Brewers. Hear all the games home and away on WRJN. In addition to great baseball, we'll bring you Badgers, Packers, and local high school games when those seasons start. WRJN is also home to one of our state's top sports reporters, Mike Clemens, with his reports every hour, now sponsored by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Learn more at paysbig.com. Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and WRJN, great partners for hometown sports.
Get ready for the winning team of selection, service, convenience, and savings at Studebaker's Fuel and Food in Racine. During this sweltering summer, cool down with an ice cold deal. 10-pound bags of ice for just 99 cents. Keep your refreshing beverages cool while you're out and about. Whether you step into the store or slide through the convenient drive-thru, Studebaker's great selection is the fuel to keep you going. Fast meets fantastic at Studebaker's Fuel and Food, located at 31 and Spring in Racine.
America's most respected newscaster of the 20th century and beyond had his home on WRJN for 56 years, and he was proud to be here. Listen.
With all of the changes in the broadcasting industry, mergers and new owners, shuffled formats and automation, it is nice today to salute the call letters and the principles and the policies of WRJN in Racine.
Now you can hear archived episodes of Paul Harvey and the rest of the story twice each weekday on WRJN at 7:25 in the morning with Don Rosen and at 12:05 with Cindy Hubert. Not only timeless hits, but now timeless wisdom from Paul Harvey on
WRJN in Racine.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Olympics are underway in Paris, and did you know the Badger State is well represented? 18 athletes on Team USA call Wisconsin home. There are two from the northwestern part of the state, Kenny Benarek, a runner from Rice Lake, and weightlifter Mary Tyson Lappin from Eau Claire. Two from northeast Wisconsin qualified. Tyrese Halliburton is from Oshkosh and plays basketball, and Madeline Watermaker is a rower from Nina. 14 are from the south central and southeast area, ranging from Margarita Vincenti, competing in fencing. She's from Hartford. Palin Jacobson from Elkhorn is a wrestler. Marie Laborde qualified for judo and is from Kenosha. Then we have Lauren O'Connor from Belleville, Sophia Vitas from Franklin, and Nick Rusher from West Bend. They're all competing in rowing. The Olympic Games continue through August 11th. Go team! Until next time, I'm Terry Ball.
I have the Movie Mom, Nell Minow, with me here. And speaking about movies and the Olympics, TCM just ran a bunch of them. I remember Tokyo Olympiad from 1964. We saw that in the theaters. And
I want to recommend a movie that is free on YouTube. It's actually in two parts. It's called The First Olympics. And it is about the first modern Olympics. And it is such a good, good story. I highly, highly recommend it. And it's about the Olympics. It was even before Chariots of Fire, and about how it all came together. And it is a wild story and so heartwarming.
TCM is it's a treasure for movie lovers.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't show only old movies. They show movies from the 2000s as well. If it's a good movie, they'll show it. And yeah. I just, you know, God bless TCM and DVDs. You know, I know DVDs are not the fashionable thing right now, but I love going to my library of 1,000 DVDs and picking out a classic movie when I want to watch it. I watch it when I want to watch it.
And I want to recommend also Canopy with a K.
Hello?
Yeah, here I am. A Canopy with a K, which is free through your public library and has got a fantastic archive of movies.
You know, I do that. I go to the library all the time. And our library here, if they don't have it, they'll find it at another library.
Canopy is a streaming service that's free.
Yeah.
You get a password from your public library.
Oh, really?
And you watch it at home, yeah.
I watch movies on Tubi every once in a while. It's not too bad. They only run two commercial breaks in them. But yeah. I'll watch a movie on Tubi.
Tubi's got some great documentaries.
Yes, they do. They have some wild documentaries on Tubi.
Yeah.
Stuff you say, where do they make this movie from?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about Comic-Con. You were there. Where was it, in San Diego or out in the West Coast somewhere?
It's in San Diego. Okay. Well, most cities have their own Comic-Cons, but the big Comic-Con is San Diego, where they get about 200,000 people. And only about... I know that a lot of people have sort of stereotypes about it, but only about 10% of the people dress up. And they do it, you know, for fun, and they love to have us take their pictures, and there's a big costume competition. But most people are there because they just love popular culture. And when I tell you that every single aspect of popular culture is there, maybe not so much music, but, games and books and movies, and not just comic-related, just to give you an idea, my favorite interview that I had this year at Comic-Con was something that's very, very popular, but you don't associate it with comics, and that is I did an interview with the Hallmark Christmas movie people.
Oh, brother.
And that was so much fun. They've got a new TV show, a reality show, coming to pick the next Hallmark Christmas hunk. And the challenges include rocking a Christmas sweater, not easy to do, cutting down a Christmas tree and carrying it home on your shoulder, and, of course, the most important thing in any Hallmark Christmas movie, the apology. So they've got to learn how to apologize.
How do they crank out 50 movies a year on that channel? Yeah. How do they do that?
I don't know, but they're like Roger Corman. They shoot them very fast, and I had so much fun talking to those people. I just had a complete and total blast. I met a lot of wonderful people, and I've had so many great adventures there over the years. I remember one year I was walking through the hallway there, and I heard someone say, "What time is the Klingon wedding?" And I'm like, "I just like to live in a world where there's a Klingon wedding."
Where's the? I am not a big superhero movie fan. However, I did love the first two Iron Man movies.
Those were great.
Of the Dark Knight.
And I'm very happy. They announced at Comic-Con that Robert Downey Jr. is coming back to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
He's going to play Doctor Doom.
Yeah. I'm not sure whether that's going to be as good a character for him as Iron Man, but I trust him, and I will see him in anything. I love him. I'm so happy he got an Oscar.
And coming off Oppenheimer, Academy Award-winning role. I also liked Iron Man? Oh, The Dark Knight, but with Heath Ledger. What a great performance in that film.
Incredible performance.
My favorite line from that film, "Do I look like I have a plan?" I use that a lot when people say, "Do you plan this out?"
Yeah, I was going to say that applies in so many situations.
I think he's standing over two-faced when he said, "As part of the plan, do I look like I have a plan?" He was so good in that Heath Ledger, and he never got to live long enough to know the appreciation from the people in that role.
I just saw a picture of his daughter.
Yeah,
she's lovely.
Yeah,
and so I'm glad that she's doing so well.
Okay, so what am I waiting for here to come out of theaters that I'm Trap just came out. I can't wait to see that because I think the premise is... And I like M. Night Shyamalan. I also liked his movie. It wasn't called The Visitor. What was it called? The one where they're all in that commune and they don't want to...
Oh, yeah.
Such a V.
That is a really good one.
None of us can remember.
I forget what it's called.
Yeah, it was so good we can't remember the title. The Village. The Village.
The Village, that's it.
I like everything he does. And I can't wait to see Trap because the premise is amazing. I hope it's a good movie.
I've heard that he is amazing in it. So, and I believe that, and I'm definitely going to see it. So coming up, we've got Wicked Part 1, which I'm looking forward to.
Another two-parter.
Which is an incredible cast. Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Transformers 1. Let's see. Oh, one that they had at Comic-Con that looks really good is an animated film with Lupita Nyong'o called The Wild Robot. And I'm really looking forward to Wolfs with Brad Pitt and George Clooney. That looks really, really fun. If you've seen the trailer, it kind of makes me think of Wolf in Pulp Fiction because they're like two fixers who are competitors and they're brought in on the same situation. And I just love the chemistry that those two guys have. I think that's, that's very exciting.
Now, I just saw
Gladiator 2.
Oh, go ahead. Keep going.
Moana 2 is coming. So if it sounds like we're getting a lot of sequels, you are correct.
Well, because they want to go where the sure thing is.
Yeah.
And the sequels could be
pretty
a sure
sold.
Thing.
Yeah.
I just saw the trailer for Wicked the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're afraid to let people know it's a musical because there's no singing in the trailer.
I don't understand that at all. Everybody loves the songs in that show. Defying Gravity and
right.
Popular and the one where I've Been Changed by You. Everybody loves the songs. They did that with Mean Girls. They didn't want people to know it was a musical. I mean, what you don't want to do is have people go to the movie and go, what? This is a musical? You know, you want them to anticipate what it is they're going to see, right?
Well, you're seeing the Broadway musicals. We saw it in Chicago on stage, and it just, of course, you know, the music is everything, Popular, Lar. it's all
yes.
so good, and they're